open your Bible up there to John chapter 9 as you're thinking about it. God's going to get somebody else up here in a minute. Hey, he's been good to you this week. I can tell you, you're here. You could be in the nursing home. Amen. You couldn't be able to get out. You could be in the hospital. Hey, you could be at the funeral home tonight. Amen. In the box at the hospital on the slab, as Brother Allen said, God's good. Amen. I thank him for being so good to me. I was humbled by Miss Elizabeth's testimony as she praised the Lord for giving me that word this morning. And Miss Elizabeth, I felt like I didn't do so well. And sometimes we do that, and I had no idea that I was speaking to your heart about your children. Oh, God, that helped me. You know, when you preach from your heart, you give somebody that God, something that God's give you to help you, and it helps somebody else in that way. Oh, that makes it all worthwhile. If it'll help me, I'm sure it'll help you. Amen. God is good. John chapter 9, if you would stand, and I'll read you a verse. We'll do like we did this morning. We'll read that first verse, and then I'll let y'all sit down. But I want to read the whole chapter. I don't think we got done here this morning. The Lord wasn't through, but I wanted to get you out early. And I said about all I had to say, so it's time to go, okay? John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, and we're going to stop and pray. Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, I thank you for passing by my way one day. I thank you for the many times you've passed by my way here at this church house, Lord, and at the rescue mission, at the nursing home, Lord. On my way to work some mornings, you passed by, Lord, and you just touched me, and I thank you for that help you give me. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I thank you that you've already passed by tonight, Lord God. Meet with us here just for a little while. Don't run off, Lord. We need your help tonight. Lord, Holy, sweet Holy Spirit, hang around and move, Lord, and touch someone and help them tonight. And we'll be sure and thank you and praise you for it. Thank you for your word, Lord. We know it's true. Lord, it's through the preaching of your word that sinners are saved. Help me to do that tonight, Lord, to magnify you in your name above all others. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all sit down. Thank you, Brother Darren, this morning for your help. You know, I didn't realize how big that boy got. Amen. I got him up here this morning and was going to tie that tie on him, not having to reach up to do that. But Darren, I remember when you was not much bigger than that one. You know, and praise God. Yeah, praise God that he's grown up and he's saved by the grace of God. I love it when Jesus passes by. Let me finish reading this and I'll share. I throwed my old notes away from this morning, so they ain't no good. And I sat at home a little while ago, and I read this again, and God gave me a few things, and not to preach again what we already preached, but somebody needs this. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Don't even give his name. Names ain't important. So many times in the Scripture, Jesus heals somebody or touches somebody and helps somebody, and he just says a certain man or a certain woman. He knows you by name. Do you know that you ain't even going to have the same name you have now when you get to heaven? He said, give you a new name. Praise God. Hey, it's a name that only he knows. I don't know, Brother Morris, what your name is going to be when you get to heaven. But I'll know you, because I know you as you are. I see you. I remember you. He said, but he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. We talked about that this morning. That was that chance meeting that the disciples had with this man there and Jesus in their presence. Do you know it's never by chance that you meet Jesus? It ain't never by mistake that you meet Jesus. I was thinking about the man you mentioned in prayer room, Brother Marsh. No doubt. There's been many times in that man's life that Jesus has passed by and he's rejected him. And I mean, I'm heartbroken with you. I got family members like that as well that Jesus has passed by their way. They've said, some of my family has even said it in this church. And I know they heard the gospel preached to them because the man up here was giving it to them and they left lost. They went out in that same spiritual condition that they came in. They think they're okay, but they're lost. They're blind spiritually. They might can see physically, but it was a chance meeting of the disciples because Jesus uses this this instance here, or this meeting, if you would, to glorify himself through this man. He saw the challenging question there they gave him in verse 2. They said, Lord, is it because he sinned or because his parents sinned that he was born blind? And Miss Elizabeth mentioned that in her testimony. It wasn't either. We know that we're all born sinners. We're an unclean thing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're sinners. No, there's none righteous, not one. There ain't nobody in here above sin. If you think you are, you make God a lie. I ain't in them shoes, man. Hey, I know I'm a sinner. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, hey, we mess up. Aren't you glad he don't throw you away when you mess up? That was a challenging question. Jesus said it, set him straight. He said, that's not the reason this man's blind. I made this man that way. I made him blind for my glory, that my glory might be revealed in the work that I'm going to do through him. And he does that every day. How many times have you seen God take an old drunken sinner that's just deep in sin, a drug addict, a prostitute, whatever, and take them and clean them up and turn them around for his glory? Amen. Hey, I didn't always used to be a preacher. I know how I used to be. I know what God did for me. You don't know, some of you. If you did, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to me, because I know what God's did in my life. He changed me. Amen. And see, I can glorify him for what he's done. I praise him for it. Hey, God is good. Amen. Nobody can't do it but God. And they're pointing the finger, and I'm going to move on. They're pointing the finger, and that's what people do today. They point the finger, you know, something's wrong with them. Hey, they must have done something wrong. Hey, people don't always sin and have problems. Problems just happen. Job said that a man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of troubles. They're going to come. And if you saved by the grace of God, if you live right, if you walk by faith, live by faith, like we should, you're going to have problems. Over there in the book of Psalms, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, he delivereth them out of all of them. No matter what you're going through, you're going to come out the other side. You just have to stand there sometimes and wait. That was the challenging question. Jesus said, hey, nobody sinned that made him that way. I made him that way that I might manifest my glory through him, and you can see who I am. Jesus was showing off who he was. Hey, I like it when God shows up and shows out. Some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about. I like it when God shows up and shows out. When he gets in somebody and works through somebody to show me something. I ain't always like that. Hey, I get wound up sometimes. I get beside myself, as the scripture says. I like it. And then we sing the crazy method. I wrote these notes where I'd remember what to go back over, and we're going to move on. The crazy method was the mud pies, the spit knives. And I mentioned about my grandpa used to, my grandma and my grandpa both, but grandma mostly, used to spit on us when we was kids all the time. You get stung by a bee or bit by something, and the first thing they did was spit snuff on you and rub it in. And they still believe there's power and healing of that spittle. Now, the disciples, we're going to deal with that in a minute. The religious folks, there's something wrong with that. See, these Pharisees, and there's many Pharisees in the world today. They're religious folks. They're self-righteous folks. They know the law. They know the scripture. Hey, but most of them is lost. There's lots of folks sitting in church today, and it don't make them a Christian. I'm just being honest with you. There's lots of folks that sit in church three times a week, and they're lost as the day is long. That sitting in church don't make you a Christian. If it would, you could sit in your garage and become a car. I need a new car. I might try that. Hey, it don't work. You got to be born again. Jesus set Nicodemus straight on that. He said Nicodemus was a Pharisee, right? He was a religious leader. He was a politician, more or less. He was the man large and in charge. He went to Jesus and said, "What I do to get in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus said, "Oh, wait a minute. You got to be born again. You ain't getting in knowing all this stuff. It don't do you no good. Hey, you got to be born again, washed by the blood of Jesus." The spit, that's a crazy method. Spit. And made clay and put it on. And he told him to go. He went with that. And I still can't get over that. He walked by faith. He was still blind when Jesus sent him. If you'll look at that scripture and read it when you get some time and pray about it before you read it, that God will show you how that man went by faith to where God told him to go. He still was blind on the way, but he went anyway. God told him to go and he went. Hey, and then he washed it. And then we're going to get to where we want to preach tonight. That was just the introduction. I'll try not to keep you too. Boy, y'all got out early this morning, didn't you? I got in my car and started up the road, and I looked at my watch, and it was just a few minutes after 12. I said, "Lord God, I'm going to get in trouble for that. Let y'all out that early. Pastor Terry will get on to me." Now, hey, when God gets through with you, you need to shut up and sit down and go home. That's just it. This is too many people try to preach what they want to say. And hey, when God gets done, you're done. You might as well sit down and shut up. Preaching ended a long time ago. Hey, look what happened. After he washed there, let's pick up in verse 7. He went his way, therefore. And we discussed this morning how far that was from the temple gate. I'm not sure exactly where the man was when they ran into each other there, when Jesus, he had his divine encounter. And it was a divine encounter, Brother Adam, with the Lord. It just didn't happen by accident. God knew, Jesus knew the man was going to be there, just like many times when he said, "I must needs go to Samaria." He knew somebody was going to be there. Hey, he needed to come in here tonight because he knew somebody here tonight was going to need this. So that's just the way God works. It just don't happen. Nothing ever occurs to God. He knows all. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The distance he went by faith, half a mile, I believe it was, still couldn't see, blind. Then he washed and he came seeing. And my question tonight, and what we're going to tie this little short message, and it's going to be quick, is, have you seen Jesus? That's pretty simple. Have you seen Jesus? This man met Jesus face to face. There, standing on the side of the road at the temple. The scripture says, if you read back in chapter 8 there, we covered that this morning, that Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives to pray, and he came back into the temple, and there on the road he met this man. And the Pool of Siloam was maybe a quarter mile, a half mile away down there where he sent him. But anyway, he met this man face to face. The man hadn't ever seen him yet. The man went when Jesus sent him to go wash. He still hadn't seen who healed him. Remember, as you said earlier, this man was not dead. He was blind. He could hear what the disciples were saying. He knew what was going on. So he went and did what the Lord told him. And can you imagine him there washing that mud off his eyes? Man, I can see. I can see. And then Lord, I can see. And he probably made a mad dash back up there where Jesus was at. And what does it say? Look, here we go. The neighbors, therefore, And they which had before seen him that was blind saw him coming. They seen him coming, and they said, is this not he? Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, well, this is he. Others said, no, he's like him, but he said, it's me. He come running back from that pool, and he could see. His neighbors was there. He probably hadn't ever seen none of them. He'd heard them talk to him. Might have sat and ate with some of them, had fellowship with them, but he'd never been able to see them. And now he's seeing them, but hey, he ain't looking for them. I could promise, he's looking for Jesus. He's looking for the one who gave him his sight. He's looking for the man who made him whole. He's looking for, are you looking for Jesus tonight? I come in here looking for him to show up and help me, and he's already done that. I hope you're looking for him to help you tonight. Hey, he's looking for Jesus. He said, I'm him. I'm him. We always run into conflict when Jesus does something for us. Always. You can count on that. You can mark it down in your book. When God starts moving and doing things in your life, Satan's going to stick his ugly head up through somebody. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be your neighbors or your friends, family. That's where I'm going, you know. Well, it's helping you, ain't it? It's helping. Or some religious folks. There's always going to be them kind of people that's going to create that conflict. Verse 7 deals with that. When you come out of there we read on down, the neighbors seen him and they said, hey, is that the same man? He said, it is I. Verse 10, therefore they said unto him, well, how were thine eyes opened? This is one of my favorite verses in this chapter. He answered and said, now listen to what he says and read it word for word. Don't take my word for it. Take what the Word of God says. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Now that's just a picture of obedience. He did what God told him to do. He was just standing on the side of the road one day doing what God had made him to do. Brother Adam, God had made that man to be a blind beggar. That's hard for some of us to swallow. Hey, you think you're better than that. It's hard for some Christians to realize that you're born again, you've got eternal life, but you are where you are in life because that's where God wants you to be. We spend too much time trying to fix everybody and fix everything, and the trouble is we've got more wrong with us than the people we're trying to fix. You can't fix me. You don't know what's wrong with me. I must tell Jesus all of my trouble. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I love you. Every one of you in here, Mason, just smile. Hey, sometimes you hate to ask folks, Brother Allen, you all right, what's wrong with you? Because you know as soon as you do that, you just open the gate and they're going to pull out a file of the medical history and start reading. I love you, but I can't help you with all that.
Yeah, that's it.
You got to go to the ones who can help you. You got to go to that great physician, that great healer. I heard a song. Some of you may not like some of this new Christian music. I believe if it's inspired by the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that inspired these men to write this Bible, and it's got them kind of words and them kind of meanings in it, it's okay. I don't like the rock and roll music, don't get me wrong. I ain't bringing no drums in the church, no bongos. No. Hey, the man said in the song, if you got chains, you need the chain breaker. And that hit me That's when God broke asunder those bonds of those men and Paul and Silas in prison. If you got chains, if you chained them, you need to see the chain breaker. That's him, Jesus. Hey, man, let's move on. Hey, he told them what this man done. He told them. They didn't know who he was. He said a man. He didn't really comprehend because he hadn't seen him yet. There's lots of folks that ain't seen Jesus yet. They ain't got no idea what I'm talking about. One day the Holy Ghost is going to touch them. Jesus is going to pass by, and they're going to read this scripture again. They're going to say, now I get it. Now I can see. I once was blind. When I used to sing Amazing Grace as a kid, it had no meaning at all. Elizabeth, I didn't get nothing from it. But now, when I don't even have to be singing it when somebody else is singing. Boy, I once was blind. But now I see. Oh, hey, stuff like that, it'll help you. He said, I don't know. He said, this man called Jesus made some clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, well, where is he? This is always that conspiracy you got, that criticism you get from folks, the conflict you're going to endure, the complaints you're going to have. Hey, a lot of times they're Christians. I can't get over that. Christians that won't complain about God doing something. Amen. If God ain't doing nothing, that's when you ought to be complaining. God's always doing something. Brother Allen gave you a perfect verse a while ago. If there ought to be two reasons you ought to come to this altar. God is doing something in your life, and God ain't doing nothing in your life. Either way, you ought to be up here. I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to help you. If God ain't moving in your life, ain't working in your family, you need to be at the altar praying about it. If you call unto me, I'll answer thee. If God is doing something in your life, you ought to be up here praising Him, thanking Him, glorifying Him for it. Amen. The conflict that happens is always there. They said, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. I can't see him. He was up here. He put this stuff on my eyes and told me to go over yonder, and I did. And then I run back over here, and I don't know where he's at. I don't know. And his neighbors, probably some of his friends, Elizabeth might have been some of his family. Look what they did. They brought him to the Pharisees. They drug him over to the religious folks. I'm not being irreverent, but religion will send you to hell. They brought him over to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day. So this is a day of their religious goings on, their Sabbath day. You know Jesus just broke all the laws. They didn't like that. He made some clay out of spit. That involved work. You couldn't do that on the Sabbath day. That was a no-no. That was bad. You did a no-no. He made the clay out of spittle. And second of all, boy, when he made the man whole, he gave him sight. That really took them by surprise. They're like, well, wait a minute. This ain't never happened before. Not even in the Old Testament, you don't read about that. There was a man supposed to be coming that was going to be able to do these things. They called him Messiah. They said, that can't be him. This blind man called him Jesus. Notice what they called him. They brought the blind man to the Pharisees that was four-time blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. The two things that they resented. If you read back, you just read your Bible, it'll help you. Chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, 8 lead up to this, the things that Jesus had done, and they were trying to kill him. They wanted him dead. He said they brought him there, and it was a Sabbath day. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and do see. Pretty simple. It was a crazy method, but it was just what Jesus had done. The method's not important. It's the man of the method, the Christ, the Jesus. It's not me that's giving you a message tonight. It's the God of the message. Amen. It's the God of the preacher. He said, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man, they wouldn't even recognize him as Jesus. This man. That's the same thing they called the blind man. This man. See, y'all know I'm telling the truth. The religious crowd today don't want you talking about Jesus. It's okay to say God or a higher being. When you get talking about Jesus, people get offended. Especially when you get talking about the blood of Jesus. They get upset. They won't hear those things. But they said this man is not of God. Why? Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And there was even division among them. It says there in the middle of verse 16, others said, how can a man, speaking of Jesus, they're talking about Jesus, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And it says plainly, and there was a division among them. Remember what we first started talking about, have you seen Jesus? When God shows up and starts doing something, a lot of times it causes division among people. Even the righteous people that are saved by the grace of God, if they see God working and God moving, and get this, they don't like what God's doing, they usually move on or they get mad. Hey, God's always going to be right no matter what he does. Sometimes you might not like it. You might not like what God does, but you can count on God always being right. He healed this man. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was his day. He was going to do what he had to do on that day anyway. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. And they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend. They wasn't going to admit that he was Jesus. Pretty plain and simple. The Pharisees, the religious folk, some of the churches today won't confess up. It's all about Jesus. See, it still takes Jesus to get to God. If you're going to get to God, you're going to get to God His way. And His way has always been through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's one mediator between man, that's us, and God. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. If you're going to have prayer answered, Brother Allen, it's going to go from you through the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. He's going to present it to His Father, and then you'll hear from heaven. That's just the way it works. If you don't like it, you're out of luck. That's God's Word. You can count on God. Hey, it's God's Word. And churches today, just they want to think they've got to do something. They've got to be something they shouldn't be. They've got to fix everything wrong with you. Jesus does that. All you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. They say, hey, this man, the crazy method he used and the controversy he faces, and they just not going to confess up and admit that, hey, this was, that, get who they was talking about. This was Jesus, God in the flesh, standing there in front of them. And they still wouldn't admit it was God. They were still lying to that. You're absolutely right. We're getting that. They were spiritually blind, and if they admitted that He was the Christ, they knew that they were sinners and they needed Him. See, they were in that section of Pharisaical sect that believed that what they did through their righteous and holy works was going to be enough and good enough for them. There's lots of folks in that shape today. And you know, they think just because they attend church regular or they they give a lot of money to churches, or they do charitable acts, or whatever. Works, works, works. They're always doing something. I talked about that last week. They always got to be doing, they think they're about God's business, but really they're about their own business and trying to appease themselves that they please God. God is not pleased with all that. I believe he said that, hey, I'm sick of your sacrifices and burnt offerings. He said, I don't need that. He said, what we need to do, Brother Allen, is sit down together and reason with one another, right? That's what God desires. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you. They couldn't accept that. All right, verse 17. They said unto the blind man again, why sayest that thou of him? He that opened that had opened thine eyes. He said, well, he may be a prophet. He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him. They got the parents involved again, that he had received sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son? Well, of course they knew it was his son. They had seen him. They knew who he was. He said, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. They're telling the truth. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Again, they're telling the truth. They didn't know. My understanding, I don't read before there that his parents were there. Now, I'm assuming, and I may be wrong about this, the parents weren't actually there when it happened. But they know this is their son. And they know the situation their son was in. He was born blind. And Jesus gave us the reason he was born blind. If you want to know what the problem is, you go to the source of the problem. Henry Ford, I like this about him. I'm a car freak. Y'all know that. I work on them for a living. He said, don't ever come to me with a problem unless you have a solution. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. Y'all looking at me like, what? He said, well, if you got a problem, then you should have thought about it and reason it over in your head enough to help me to fix it. If we could get that in our minds, when we go to one of our kids, one of our teens or something, we know they've got a problem and we know how to help them fix it. It makes things a whole lot easier. But most of the time they're not going to listen to you anyway. But that's just a thought that might help you. They said, go to our son. He's of age. Ask him what happened. Don't ask us. But they did that out of fear. Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. They feared the religious folk. You better still be scared of religion. They feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, another one of their silly little rules they added in, that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That means they're going to be cast out of the church. Read that again. Because they believed in Jesus. If you ever get run out of church, because you believe in Jesus, you need to find another church anyway. If you're in a church and they're not preaching Jesus, you need to get up and get out of there fast. If they're not preaching about Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice he made for you, get out, get out, get out. There's only one way to heaven. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then they called the man that was blind. I'm trying to read it in a hurry. And he said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Still talking about Jesus. Still talking about Jesus. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. Brother Allen, these folks wasn't only blind, they had a hearing problem. There's lots of folks in church like that too. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of people sitting in church that hear preaching, good preaching, all the time, but they don't hear. You hear what they want to hear. You ever told your kids, you're listening to me, but you don't hear me? I've told mine that before. Some of them still listen to me, but they don't hear me. You know, as Brother Allen said, they hear what they want to hear. Isaiah prophesied about that. If you read over in the Old Testament, he said, they're going to have ears, but they're not going to be able to hear. They're going to have eyes, but they're not going to be able to see. They're going to be blind, spiritually blind. And that's what he's talking about. He said, how open it? And he answered, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be, if I tell you again, you're going to believe in Jesus? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Now, they were referring back to the law. They believed strictly in the law. They were heads and tails on that Torah. I mean, if you did anything to violate their traditions, you were cast out of the temple. We said saw what they was going to do to his parents if they confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 29 says, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, now they've called him this man and this fellow, and he's a sinner. If you read over in chapter 8, they called him a devil. They said he was born of fornication. They dogging Jesus out because they don't want to see who he really is. My question was, have you seen Jesus? When we started, remember, come on, have you seen Jesus? Now we know that God, verse 31, heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now, that's the comfort of the Scripture right there, helping. This man was not only of God, this man was God. The book of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. So they had God in the flesh standing there, and he healed this, he opened the eyes of this blind man. Never been done before, and he was the only one who could do it. He was the only one that when he took that clay and had the authority and the ability to spit on it and make it into a little ball, and when he placed it on that man's eyes, he had the anointing in his hand. That man saw right then. But he did. Jesus allowed him to walk. Get the comfort of the Savior. We saw the chance meeting, the challenging question, the crazy method, the conflict, the criticism, the complaints, the things that goes on and on and on. It still does today with people. Verse 25 there, that man gave some compelling praise. It helps me when I hear other people glorify God. He said there that, hey, if he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that man named Jesus made that clay and he put it on my eyes and I was blind and now I see. And he was praising him. He really didn't. He hadn't seen him yet, Brother Allen. He hadn't seen him. That blows my mind. He hadn't seen him yet. That's the whole message tonight. If you don't get nothing else out of this, you are saved by faith through grace. Hey, it's the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. It takes faith to believe that. Everything I believe is by faith. It's based on the Word of God. If that Bible's not true, I'm lost on my way to hell. I can't help myself. Jesus is the only one that can help me. And I believe in His Word. I have faith that He is who He said He was. He's the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. What that Bible tells me, He came and lived for 33 and a half years, walked the face of this earth, preaching and teaching everybody. And all that time, He walked around doing that, healing these blind folks, making the lame get up and walk, making the deaf to hear, the mute to talk, all those things, even raising the dead. He was doing all that for one reason, to get to a place called Calvary, where He could die for me and you. Ain't that one that Jesus did that? All right, I'm just about done. This is it. Now Jesus, verse 35, heard that they had cast Him out. Now this man believed in Jesus, just like you do. He hadn't seen Him yet. I believe the Scripture says, blessed are those that believe and hadn't seen Him. Now, hey, whoa, that ought to help you. You're blessed because you believe and you ain't seen Him. When Jesus heard that they had cast Him out and He had found Him, He knew where He was at the whole time. He just went over. He said unto him, look what He asked Him. He didn't ask Him, can you see now? Or can you hear me now? Y'all hear that commercial? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Jesus didn't ask Him that. Jesus says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's what's going to get you there. That's the ticket. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's simple third grade education. Every one of them words is a one-syllable word. People say salvation's too complicated. No, it ain't. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. 16 one-syllable words get you saved. All you got to do is believe on the Son of God. Believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus asked him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look what the man said. He answered and said, well, who is He, Lord? He ain't seen Him yet. Now he's looking at Him. He don't know who He is. Remember when he met Jesus the first time, Mason, he had stuff on his eyes. He was blind. He couldn't see. He answered, who is He, Lord? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen Him